Log Talk Radio.
Hello.
Welcome to all. I'm ready. Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Peggy Smolsky, and she's going to talk about being trans in America. So, Peggy, I met you a couple of weeks ago listening to music, and you know, we had a picture taken to put on Facebook, and we've been like communicating a little bit back and forth. So, tell everybody your story.
Well, my story, Cynthia, is like this. I was felt like always inside female, and when I was probably going through like a midlife crisis. In my late 40s, I came to the conclusion that I couldn't, you know, go on as a man anymore. And then I just decided, this is really me, and I'm going to be the, you know, my female self that I always felt that I was, Cynthia.
Mm-hmm. So was it a big transition, and how did people react to your transition?
Well, it was like this, Cynthia. It was like this. I was in the workplace, and I transitioned on the job, and I also had issues with alcohol at the time that I was very stressed out doing this, and I got brought in for being out, you know, for my alcohol difficulties, and I told them about the transition, and you know, I was to be disciplined. And after that, they actually came up with a whole bunch of charges against me that weren't true, and I was suspended for 15 months, Cynthia, without pay. And it was like, oh my God! I mean, it was just a horrible time in my life, and I was actually forced into psychiatric treatment for alcohol, which I actually needed. But I went 15 months. And during that time, you know, as bad as, you know, it was, I moved forward in life and learned a lot. I went to places where we had counseling of transgendered. I found out what it was all right, what it was all about. And I also found out it was not a mental illness or anything per se, because they put on a transgendered identity disorder. Is usually what they put on your charts. It's like, this is a disorder. This is something that is a medical condition, which it is not. It is not a disorder. It's actually how just people are. So it was very hard for me at first, Cynthia, very hard.
So, you know, in the course of conversations with other people, did they have the same problems you did?
Well, I mean, we all went through difficulties when we transitioned, Cynthia. And one of them is like your friends, and you know, a lot of people that knew me my whole life suddenly like wouldn't even look at me or talk to me, and my family had issues with it. And I mean, I have an understanding. Like my mother said, you know, you just came out of nowhere with this, and I really didn't. I mean, I just, you know, hid myself so long, and it was difficult. I went to groups, and you know, people pretty much had the same thing, where you know, there was ostracization from, you know, their friends and family, and also, you know, the workplace difficulties, and it's just like, this is a fact of what happens when you transition. And I think actually right now, it is not, it's a little different today, because this was 12 years in 2012, 13. And I mean, we have moved forward in probably the last 5-6 years in society as a whole, I believe, to where I think I have more acceptance in society. And I've made myself very visible out there in society, going out everywhere and, you know, being who I am and proud of myself. And it's like, you know, people, and no matter what you are, not everybody's going to accept you anyway. But I have found a way to do that in society, not to, you know, be hiding out and making this like a normal thing. You know, that's actually been what I've done. I haven't really realized that I did that, but a friend of mine said, she goes, you made this kind of mainstream. You just did not go to LGBT things, and, you know, you went out in society and mixed with people. So that was very, very good thing to, you know, let people know about transitioning and, you know, how you feel and children. And, you know, for my generation, it was different because you could not really come out. It was a different time. They had different theories on this, probably when I was a kid. Now we understand more about this. And I participated in research on this, you know, going into histories of what we, you know, how we were in our childhood and everything. You know, it's very important to educate people and try to get people to understand this. You know, I had trouble understanding it myself. So I think by helping other people, it understands myself to others, Cynthia. That makes sense, right?
So, you know, I live in Albany, and,
right.
You know, every year they have the, you know, the parade and the festivities in Washington Park.
Right.
And I always felt, wow, this is great. People can actually be who they are without any repercussions. So are you telling me there are still repercussions in society, or is society more accepting to anybody who wants to really be themselves?
I'll reiterate what I said earlier. I think we have moved forward. There's always going to be a segment of society that is going to be in opposition to this. And, I mean, it's part of, I'd have to say demographically, it's probably because of age groups. And I think actually today's children that are growing up today are definitely more open to this because we're a better informed society, Cynthia. And, I mean, it's about, you know, I actually meet parents. Let me clear my throat. I meet parents sometimes, and, you know, they'll have their children with them, and they'll say, you know, they'll explain, you know, about Peggy, and it's really good. And the younger, you know, the understanding stays there, you know what I mean? It's all about proper education, you know, early in life. And we will move forward as a society. It's always going to be something controversial. And there's also, you know, there's the chromosome issues. There's so many things that, you know, are coming into issues here, because some people that are transgendered have double X, they have chromosome aberrations. So there's a genetic component to this in many cases. It's just not, somebody thinks that, oh, you know, this is a whimsical thing of being the opposite sex. And there actually are cases where there's intersex genetic conditions like Klinefelter's and De La Chapelle syndrome. And I mean, we're understanding the human brain more, how it's like possibly a brain wiring thing. I mean, there's definitely research, you know, to be done on this, and it's a good thing. And there should be no reluctancy of society now to try to figure this issue out. That's my thing. And we will learn. I mean, we learn just by, like, what we're doing right now, by, you know, dialogue, talking about it. And I might say this, and there might be a person that might say something different. You know, there's a spectrum to all people, and it's good. I mean, we all have stories. We all are our stories. And my biggest regret, Cynthia, is like I really couldn't do this when I was younger, because I've had the best years of my life, I'd have to say, since 2013-14, when it was really when I went out in the open and I went to the workplace. I worked 5 years before I retired, and children got to know me, and people got to know me. I never knew any of these people, and I went out in all different places, and I became somewhat of a writer and, you know, an entertainer in my own right in the process, and it was a great thing, and I have a lot of friends. I know people, so many different people in different places. It's really good, and I love life. Life is good, and as Peggy, I definitely have to say that.
So when did you realize, how old were you when you realized that there was a gender identity problem with you.
I'd have to say, Cynthia, I mean, I go back early in my childhood, and I'd have to say in the early, I can remember as far as like being 4 or 5 years old, Cynthia, and, I had a sister, and, you know, I actually idolized her, and I wanted to be her, because she was beautiful, uh-huh. And I'm like this, too. I'm a girl, too, and it's like, you know, I never told anybody about it, but in secret, I was doing things, and actually, at a young age, I was playing more with girls. I was around girls, and, you know, I played their games with the girls rather than the boys, and then it got to probably, like, the age of maybe, like, 6 or 7, where I started being, like, teased, you know, about my behavior, and then I kind of shied away from it, and I hung around with boys, and I just always felt different and kind of like isolated, like, wow, who am I supposed to be with here? I don't really want to play baseball. You know, I want to play with kittens and do other things, you know.
Right. So then the whole experience of people becoming more acceptable to different ways of thinking. So that must have been a comfort. That must have been a comfort for you.
Yes, it was. And I think, you know, like I actually had a social worker at first, and she said, you know, you're kind of a trailblazer per se, because, you know, you're going out there, and like, it was tough. I mean, it took a strong toll on me emotionally and physically. And I really did make it through it. And I think I'm really a great role model for other people. And maybe my thing of doing this at an older age is like that this is something that society, we made a mistake years ago in having people not being able to do this. And I'm sure there's a lot of older, later in life transition people that probably feel the same way, that, wow, man, I would have had a better, happier life. But it was also not in the time frame then where you would have been able to have a better, happier life, because they did not have laws protecting this, and it was seen as somewhat of a psychiatric disorder. So you can't say that, because in the context of the time, it would have not have been possible. But I mean, we always fantasize about how happier our lives could have been. So, you know, but it's never too late. That's my message, because everybody says, oh, you know, you're older. And I said, well, I'm older. And I said, I'm mature and I'm wise. And I said, I try to take care of my health somewhat, and I still feel good. You know what I mean? I don't feel like my physiological age, you know, and it's good. It's a good thing.
So back, you know, way back when, like in the 50s and stuff, when people were afraid to express their identity, and they, you know, married people of the opposite sex, never worked out. And if you saw the movie about Mr. Rogers, one of the people on Mr. Rogers was gay, the coachman. And, you know, he got married, and the marriage turned out to be a total failure. So there have been many, 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 many people back then who, you know, lived according to the way society wanted them to live. And it turned out to be disastrous for people. But today people are, you know, they're coming out more and expressing who they really are. Do you find a lot of pushback from that?
Yes, I do. You know, the whole thing is like, you know, living in the past. This is the big issue right now. With the people that don't accept this, they're actually people that are living in the past. that's the main issue. I mean, we have a society, a segment of society that has never moved forward. you know, and this is part of the issue. And my goal is to move everything forward. You know, we definitely have to study the past and what happened there, and you know, see in which ways it was wrong. That's you know, where people were denied happiness, and a lot of people that think they're happy really aren't. I mean, there's these old traditional things of happiness that are not true, that I've seen in my life by the people, you know, that they, if it makes you happy, why the hell are you so sad? That's what Sheryl Crow sung.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I know what my goal for my happiness was, and you know, I can't comparison and anyone else's on that, you know.
So I had met you at when I was listening to the music. And you were telling me that you do radio, you do comedy.
Yes, I do. I host a radio program.
So tell us about a little bit about that.
About my radio program is I am on radiox.com. I have an hourly show, the Peggy of Troy Hour. It's on today from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're worldwide web radio, and I'm just an innovative person. I get on there, and I have a great playlist usually, and I'm full of comedy, and it's really fun, man. It's been a great venue for me, and I've had actually a lot of people listening to me that know me, and they're like, wow, man, this is fun, man. You're having fun with music the way it was meant to be, you know, and I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
But do you ever do like stand up and live audiences?
Yeah. Yes, I have done that too, Cynthia. I have a show, and the show was in Troy, New York. We had it all summer. It was called Honky Tonk Bingo on, I was the host of the show, and I had a partner, DJ Molly Parton, and we entertained crowds for all summer. We entertained into the fall. We had a Christmas show, and it's really been great. I mean, I've had such great support, you know, from people locally. I met so many cool people through this, and it's really been great. And it's like, wow, man, you know, you're an entertainer. You're bringing us joy, and you are what you are. You know, people embrace it, man. It's really been great. It's opened up doors as far as, you know, people that have never met anybody like me per se. And I mean, I don't consider myself basically, I mean, I'm transgendered. I mean, there's, you know, other types of entertainments, and I just go up there, and you know, I don't put any pretense on. I just do what I do naturally, and it's fun. It's just fun, man. People have a great acceptance.
I'm sure met many other entertainers who were transgendered. Do they feel as confident as you are about who they are, like you are about who you are?
Well, you know, this is for the most part, Cynthia. I mean, I can't speak for them, but there's a lot of people that are the entertainers that go up there and dress up and everything, and they really are not transgendered. I mean, they do it as entertainment. I mean, I'm like this all the time. So I'm along the lines of maybe slightly different than the average, you know, entertainer, and I'm still feeling my way in this too, Cynthia, as far as what I've, you know, done so far in the, you know, the comedy aspect. And I have a show where basically I'm there to call bingo, but it's also, you know, I'm clowning and joking and talking all along. So it's great impromptu of comedy. And I've learned, I mean, I'm still learning. And, you know, that it just changes. It changes all the time with Peggy, what I want to kind of do. But we have a lot of fun up there. It's just a lot of fun to get. I think it's just really fun right now with, you know, the situation going on that we are going out. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, because my phone was kind of like, I got a crazy thing on here.
Okay.
Are you receiving me well?
I'm receiving you very well.
Oh, okay. I just wondered because the thing popped up on the phone with the microphone. But my goal has been to try to like make people laugh and smile in these times, and you know, getting people out right now. You know, what there's been a lot of restrictions and stuff, so there's a lot of trepidation.
Right.
You know, we got to abide by laws and stuff, but people are really happy to get out there right now. And I mean, I'm happy to be there. And the last time I actually did a show, I had a mask on, and it was a little different. It was like, oh man, this is not going to be as much fun. And it was, it really was. It's like, you know, the show must go on, and you know, people love to, you know, go out, and we have to socialize. part of my transition to Peggy has made me a very sociable, more person. And I was not like that as a man, because my, you know, I was known as Paul. And I was very reserved and shy, because this was really not me. And now it's like, this is who I really am. And at first it was a struggle, and now the cat's out of the bag and everybody knows who I am. So basically, if somebody has a problem with me and the way I am, I relate it to being their problem and try to not internalize this, because anybody that's transgender, this is one of my philosophies that I'd see. Like, I feel like I'm a man, I feel like I'm a woman, but the masculine side of me was something that was not there inherently, that I had to really fake, and not the other way around, because a lot of people see a transgendered person as, well, this is a man trying to be a woman. And it's like, no, first I had to be I felt like a woman and I had to be a man. So this was a toxic state for me. So when I revert back to any like of my bad things, I seem to become like the male side of me that dominated my mind, that did not make me happy all these years. And it can come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's part of me, and there's like an internal struggle when you first, before you try to transition, is like, is this who I really am? You know, it's like an internal struggle first, Cynthia. I have heard this from other people that are transgendered, and you know, the questions of, is this really me? Are you sure you're like this? And you know, there's a lot of self-questioning involved in being transgendered. And I went through it. I went through the rigors of it. And it's like, you know, I wake up some days and I said, you know, the adversity. And I go, no, but that's in the past. I can't let a trail of smoke behind me, you know, see what's in front of me, which is going to be so good that it's not going to be funny, you know, in the future for me. That's the way I feel.
So the first time you ever stepped out of your house,
mm-hmm,
as transgendered,
right?
Were people prepared for this, or were they shocked, or what was their reaction?
Yeah. So there was a big element of shock to it, but I just remembered, Cynthia, the first day that I walked down the street. And I mean, I was fully female, and I felt it. And I said, wow, what a feeling of empowerment that this is. And there was like people driving by me that knew me, and they're like, whoa, what the, you know, and you know, people thought I was maybe just acting and everything. And it did. It shocked the world.
Uh-huh.
There was no actual guideline for me to knowing exactly what I was doing in this. And I found out, I mean, within my first year, like I said, you know, I went there and I went to places. I learned about it. I went to groups with other transgendered people. I was in groups that were fully transitioned. Then I was also, you know, I was in groups where I felt that there was somebody that was actually female transgendered, but, you know, they were still married and had this. And it was like, wow, man, there's a wide spectrum of this, you know, and it's just not about sexual orientation. You know, transgendered is not a sexual orientation at all, you know, and it's just something I learned, man, and I learned, and I think the best thing is where you learn and you teach at the same time by, you know, going with others and exchanging thoughts and ideas. And we're not all on the same page with everything. I mean, just because somebody's transgendered or LGB, some people might have conservative viewpoints, some people might be different. And this is something that, you know, people got to understand that. I mean, just because we don't get just put in a pigeonhole, you know, as a certain thing with this, that there's a wide spectrum of this. But I just have to say, be who you are. And that's what I became, and I kind of changed a lot of my philosophies as I learned more about myself. I learned more about others and things that I thought before I transitioned. Now I do not hold them in the same truth and light. It's opened up my mind, and hopefully I have opened up others' minds in this. We've learned from each other, and it's been a great thing, man. It's been a great thing. I just
so. Do you think there would be more acceptance in maybe New York City than in upstate
mm-hmm.
New York? What do you think?
I would definitely probably have to say, because New York, I mean, it's almost like a separate state down there. And I mean, they have their own cultures and subcultures down there where, basically, up here, it's a whole different picture from city to city, and I mean, we have rural cities still, we have mid-sized cities, and yeah, there's definitely a difference, but I think in the long run, you know, the more people that are like me, possibly that, you know, want to be out there and make our own visibilities proud and, you know, tell our stories, because our stories aren't always great stories. You know, some of them are very, you know, they were hard roads. And it's the best thing that we have the wide spectrum of, people out there telling different stories. Because, you know, everybody, people just want to put a story in on us. Oh, yeah, you know, you did this, you did that. And, you know, and we're all different. I mean, stories are a great thing. No two people in this world ever had the same life. that's a great thing. And a lot of people aren't really comfortable talking about their, you know, their lives and their personal lives either. So, you know, we have to make this an open thing for everybody to talk about.
So we're just about out of time. If somebody wants to know more about you, how can they reach you?
How could they reach me? I can give you my social media.
Yep.
How's that? I am under Peggy Smolsky on the Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, great. And for people in upstate New York, where can they see you?
Where can they see my show? I actually perform on the radio. Like I said earlier, I am on radio.com, and you download the app, and I am on from 6 to 7 p.m. tonight, Thursday night. And then I have a show. I don't know when the next one is scheduled, because we're worried about the restrictions and everything as far as, you know, the state goes. But we will probably have a show on probably in maybe late January, depending on the situation. But all of this information will be shown on my social media, you know, when we know that we're having things. So as long as people stay in touch with me on social media, I will be you know, showing things that I'm doing. I might even be doing new things when, you know, the situation hopefully changes. We get out there and do some entertaining for people. And I am also a singer, too. So there's unlimited possibilities coming for me in 2022, I think. But we're going to have fun.
Okay,
that's the most important thing.
Thank you. You've been listening.
Thank you, Cynthia.
This is All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. And if you like the show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Peggy. Have a great day. Thank you, everybody,
yep, you
for
too.
Listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.